Good morning, and we are here talking with Riley County Health Department Public Health Emergency Preparedness Coordinator Andrew Adams on the recent moderate risk that the state has been put in on West Nile virus. And we also have Clinic Supervisor Leslie Campbell talking about vaccinations for both Tdap and measles. So let's first go to Andrew and just sort of kind of tell us about what West Nile virus is and how it's, you know, transferred.
So West Nile virus is a mosquito-borne disease spread by any number of different types of mosquitoes. The main species of mosquito is the Culex species. And so the way that the surveillance levels and the risk levels work is there's a few surveillance sites throughout the state that go and collect those mosquitoes, and they base the risk level on number of mosquitoes found, on weather patterns, and on historical disease data to that point in the year.
So what precautions do people need to make to prevent themselves from getting West Nile or getting bit by a mosquito?
So West Nile disease prevention is a lot like all the other mosquito-borne disease prevention methods. And so we really have kind of three main pillars we go by. And so one is to remove standing water. So you can do that through, dumping water out of old tires or buckets or anything that might hold water in and around your house, like flower pots, dog bowls, tarps, anything that might hold water because that's where the mosquitoes breed and that's where they lay their eggs. Second method is to wear bug spray. So any EPA-registered insect repellent, there's all kinds of different types. The ones containing DEET do work really well. Those are recommended by the CDC and the EPA. Making sure that you wear that insect repellent anytime you go outside, whether you're just going out to your yard to barbecue, you're going on a hike, going to the park, things like that. That bug spray really does help keep the mosquitoes away. And then the third way is to wear protective clothing. Long pants, long sleeves, a hat, those kinds of things to help keep the bugs off you.
So if someone were to get bitten by a mosquito that has a West Nile virus and they contract it, what is the next step for them? What do they need to do after that?
Yeah, so the biggest thing to do is really to go to the doctor. So don't ignore those symptoms. So the symptoms are pretty nonspecific, which means they're kind of generic. So fever, headache, body aches, you might be nauseous, you could get a rash depending on the situation. But a lot of people with West Nile don't have symptoms. And so it's really important to kind of just know how you normally feel. And then if you feel a little off after you've been outside, things like that, contact your doctor. The symptoms usually appear 2 to 6 days after you're bit by the mosquito. So just to kind of be aware, if you've got a lot of mosquito bites and you start feeling bad, call the doctor.
So the entire state of Kansas is in this moderate risk for West Nile virus due to the flooding waters and heavy rainfall that we've been getting throughout the entire state. We've seen that especially here in Riley County with Tuttle Creek Lake and the possibility of Wildcat Creek. What does that mean for Riley County?
Sure. So it, just more of the kind of following those methods to prevent disease. So dumping out water, wearing bug spray, and wearing those long sleeves and long pants. We're trying to, from a health department perspective, we're trying to push a lot of information out, really starting the last week or so. So getting things online on our website, and starting to put more things out on social media to increase that awareness, to remove standing water and wear bug spray, really.
Now, on average, how many cases has the Riley County Department seen of West Nile virus in Riley County?
I just looked at those numbers. So from 2012 to 2016, in that span, we only had 3 investigations in Riley County. And from 2017 to now, we've had 1 investigation. So we don't get too many calls on.
So are you guys then preparing for the eventuality of seeing a case or two of West Nile due to this increased moderate risk?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing that we started thinking of really quickly when we went into kind of the flood preparation and response mode, was the immediate and kind of long-term effects of flooding, and one of those is the potential for increased mosquito-borne diseases. And so that's why we're really trying to ramp up our website and getting that information out there to wear bug spray, get rid of that standing water, because that's where they breed. So,
mm-hmm. So does this moderate risk have the potential to prolong the mosquito season that we have here in Riley County?
It could. Most of that is really dependent on the weather, more than anything. And so mosquito season usually is sometime around April through October. But again, it's kind of dependent on the weather. We try and get out ahead of it, for the most part, with some outreach events that we do in the springtime. We had Bugapalooza at the beginning of April to try and start educating people on mosquito bite prevention and the different mosquito-borne diseases and things, in hopes that they'll follow those three pillars, you know, removing water, wearing long sleeves, long pants, and using bug spray. So we'll see if that helps or not.
Interesting. Where can people go to find out more information on how to prevent getting West Nile virus, getting bit by mosquitoes, and just more information about the disease in general?
We do have, like I said, I've mentioned our website a few times, and so it's a new webpage that we haven't had before, and that's actually, you know, you can Google just Riley County, Kansas mosquito prevention, and it should pop up. But that webpage is rileycountyks.gov/1829/mosquito, where they have information on the different diseases, on fact sheets, on how to remove standing water, what kind of bug spray to use, that kind of thing. And the City of Manhattan also has some information on their website too, through their Parks and Rec Division, on water removal on city-owned properties and those kinds of things.
All right, well, thank you so much for all that information, Andrew. We now head over to Leslie to talk about the Tdap vaccination, as well as some information on the measles vaccination and the disease itself.
So to go along with flooding that we've had, we've been giving out tetanus boosters at the Riley County Health Department, and we had two events where we gave out a lot of boosters to emergency response workers and then some citizens in Northview area that was potential large flooding areas. But we still have Tdaps, so tetanus boosters, and for anyone who may be still working in the flooded waters, or, you know, just working in areas that cleaning up debris of any kind. So they are available at the health department, and we've been really working on getting the word out about those. So we have them year round. But we also, this summer, of course, we have the new recommendations for schools for the meningococcal for next year. So we're encouraging adolescents to come in early to get their vaccines for their seventh grade, and then the measles outbreak across the United States. So right now there are no measles cases in Kansas, so we're not in outbreak of any kind mode, but we do have the vaccine ready in case we do have that happen. So we have vaccine available. We're encouraging most adults to consider their history, talk with their doctor, but to get an actual titer instead of getting the vaccine, because there are some age groups that they've already been exposed in the past. So it would be good for them just to get the titer, see if they're immune before getting and using precious vaccine that are needed for 12-month-olds. That's when you would get it first. So we're encouraging all, you know, babies to get their vaccine as soon as they turn 12 months old, their 1 year birthday, get them in here, and then they get a second one at 5 years. So kindergarten vaccines, which is right around the corner. So yeah, those are our two populations that we're really encouraging to get vaccine.
Some say these cases of measles right now in the U.S. can be caused by a growing segment of the population choosing not to vaccinate their children. What is the Riley County Health Department doing to educate the public about getting vaccinated?
We do a lot of education on our website, and then also through the school nurses There's a lot of and encouraging people to go to the Center for Disease Control CDC's website because there's a lot of information out there that is false about the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella. And so we definitely encourage people to use reputable websites for their information. The anti-vaxxer unvaccinated is the most likely way that spread will come to Kansas, and then it's the kids who maybe aren't able to be vaccinated yet who will be the most likely to get the repercussions from that.
And measles, this is a very serious disease, right?
Measles is very serious and can lead to death. In when we had a huge outbreak in Kansas in the early 1990s, we had two deaths of teenagers. So, yeah, I mean, all of the vaccines, all of the diseases that are vaccine preventable are so have changed over the years and are stronger and cause severe disease than they did back in times when they were just a normal childhood disease. So things have really changed because of our culture, because of, you know, antibiotics, just different things that have happened. And actually, there's no antibiotic that treats measles. The only way is prevention. Get your shot. Getting a shot after you've been exposed may do something, but may lessen the disease, but getting the vaccine before is your best protection.
Now, going back to the Tdap vaccination, why should people who have been in these flooded areas or have worked in these flooded areas, why should they go get this vaccination?
Well, the reason is tetanus is found in the dirt. So as you get flooding, the dirt is then dispersed, and tetanus is found everywhere in the dirt. So it's not just an isolated thing. It's just found naturally. And so when you have floodwaters and then you get an injury, that dirt is more likely to get into those types of injuries. And so you want to get the vaccine beforehand. And it is good for 10 years if you haven't had one in 10 years. But we had a lot of people say, oh, last time I got one is 1993 when we had the last flooding. So you don't want to really wait that long. Yeah. Definitely. So yeah, absolutely should prevent it. A tetanus is, if you do not get any prevention for tetanus, it leads to death. There is no way to treat it. You can get, there are some cases where people were very, very sick though in the ICU for months and came back from it, but you do not want to go through that debilitating type of illness.
Well, all right. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I didn't really go over the what we're recommending for the measles. I can do that. So adults, for measles, adults that are considered immune, if they have a history of one dose of the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, so all they need to have is one dose. And then for travelers over 12 months, they are, if you're going to an area of the country, other countries mainly, they're requiring that you get a second dose if you haven't had one. So there are outbreaks in many other countries, and you can look that up on the Center for Disease Control's website on what country you're visiting to see whether they require that. And of course, healthcare workers are high risk for being exposed. And so there are recommendations for healthcare workers. Most healthcare workers are usually up to date. Their employer keeps them that way. So,
all right. Well, thank you, Leslie and Andrew, so much for talking to us today about West Nile virus and getting vaccinated.